All right, a travel day today, moving between Airbnbs, where it's late enough in the afternoon now. I think I can start moving toward the new Airbnb, and I should get there about when I can go in. But yeah, this is definitely the problems of a guy who doesn't actually have problems day, where it's just everything is, it's a little tricky, packing up everything you own and being temporarily in between places. But not really, you know. It's mainly just I didn't sleep especially well, and I woke up early. This was actually like a late checkout. I could have stayed at this Airbnb till 11, but I just couldn't sleep in. So I woke up real early. I'm pretty proud with how spick and span I left this Airbnb. I don't know. I do hope that the people who have to come in and flip the room, you know, and prepare for the next person, I hope it's like a nice day for them when they show up and almost everything is already fixed, you know? Like, I put everything back as proper as I could and cleaned up as much as I could. Made sure all the dishes were done. Basically, like, I guess they got to change the bedding and wash two towels and two hand towels, you know? And that's it, really. I think I left a pretty light touch. You know, you just gotta take pride in whatever you take pride in. I take pride in being a ghost. I just want to be a little ghost who didn't fuck your place up. And then I was thinking of like, you know, I got all afternoon. What should I do today? But I always forget how heavy this book bag is. I got it on right now just so the sound of me pulling it along with the wheels won't be in the podcast. But, you know, it feels okay now because I just put it on. But it's going to start pulling me down before too long. And even dragging it along, like, it's just so fucking heavy. And then my plan was just to come to central Fukuoka, try to find a Tully's or a Starbucks or something. So I didn't want to drink any coffee beforehand, you know? It's like, I'll wait till I get to the coffee shop so I can sit there as long as possible before the coffee works its way through me. So I didn't really eat, didn't have coffee. Big heavy bag, didn't sleep that much, and man, I wish it was like yesterday's weather. Yesterday's shit weather would have been so good today, because as is tradition when I move house, I'm wearing both my pairs of jeans at the same time, and I've got all these layers of different coats, and I was like, hey, great, I can just wear them. I can more or less comfortably wear all my layers. I was wearing most of them yesterday. But unfortunately, today is beautiful. Just right now, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. God, it's so fucking perfect today. It's insane. The weather's nice and calm. The sun's out. It's like fucking excellent. It's such a perfect day. If only we could have flip-flopped. If only yesterday was a perfect day and today when I was just wearing four jackets and sitting in a coffee shop. If only today had been shit. But you see, that's how dumb this podcast is. Again, the problems of the guy with no problems. I'm complaining that it's perfect weather. It's fucking stupid. But yeah, I thought I'd come to the center. And this is a good example of how I think I've internalized stuff, but I haven't because I wasn't by myself. I mostly, when I was in this part of Fukuoka, was mostly with my friend Brad, who used to live here. So Tenjin Station, for example. In my memory, Tenjin Station, it was really long. It like takes up the whole block and it just goes on and on and on. And it was like three floors with a basement. And outside was a park. And there was a Tully's coffee near the park and a Bic camera. Anyway, whatever that was, it was huge. It was like this massive thing connected to Tenjin Station. You can't miss it, right? I could not find that fucking thing for the life of me. I may have gone under it, but I'm not sure. But yeah, it's just like, I just thought I knew what that was and how to get there. And I walked around and walked around and walked around, and I was getting grumpier and grumpier because I'm like, this bag is so heavy and I don't know what the fuck. Like, I'm at Tenjin Station and this isn't it. I just don't know what's going on. And I still, I don't know, something yet to determine, because I don't know. Eventually, I did find one of these, like, seven-story kind of mini mall complexes that had a Gigo on floor 6. But that connected into this underground thing that I at some point must have passed under the area I was thinking of, because it just went on and on and on, and it was actually pretty cool. It's just like this underground passageway that like goes on further than you can see the end of, and it's just got these nice little lights set up, and it's like kind of pretty in its own way. And it's just like an endless amount of stores, which like Toronto and Montreal, they both have underground mall stuff because of the horrible winters. But this one was a bit different because in those cities, it's a bit more of a tangle of stuff. This was just long, just this long hallway that looks like it's out of, I don't know, like an Elder Scrolls game or something. You're just in like the underground bazaar, and it just goes on and on and on, and there's all these stores. But yeah, that's when I started realizing that the lack of coffee and the lack of food and the lack of sleep was wearing on me, because this thing was so beautiful. It was like kind of gorgeous, and I was really struggling to enjoy it. You know, I was trying to tell myself like, hey buddy, you're still in Japan, you're still doing the Japan thing, it's really cool. But I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, God, what is this? Because then I found they had a Starbucks in there, and they had a Seattle's Best Coffee. I didn't realize they had those in Japan. It's a funny name for a chain, seeing a Starbucks is also from Seattle. Seems like a bit of a dig. But in both cases, they were just like a bit too small and a bit too crowded. It didn't really feel comfortable to go plunker down, because my plan was, like, I got all afternoon, I got nothing else to do. Once I sit down, I'm not moving for the next 2.5-3 hours. But then I went above ground, and I found a Starbucks that was nice and big and wasn't that busy. Although later it did get busy, it did get completely full, so I guess I got a little lucky that I got there when it was only 3/4 full. But I snuck myself to the back, took a nice dank corner where I was out of everyone's way, and I just sat there. And also, I guess because, not only because I was planning on hanging around for a while, but I have to periodically break $100, a 10,000 yen note, which again, you know, it's pretty much still a cash society in Japan. It's really no big deal. Everyone's got the change. In North America, that would be awkward. You know, a lot of places won't even take $100 bills. It's like, what are you doing with that? That's too much. Get out of here. What if that's a counterfeit or something? Here, it's not a big deal. But because I was breaking it, I still was like, all right, give me the fancy, whatever the current thing is, with some kind of pistachio mocha, which was a bit weird. I don't know if I love pistachio flavor, but it was different. And I got a sandwich, and I got a dessert thing, and I blew a lot more money than I usually do. But it was so nice. It's like, I got the book bag off my back. I got a fucking sandwich in my belly. I got caffeine in my blood. And I'm just sitting here with my laptop editing shit. Not so bad. That's what I did. So yeah, I guess what I've learned today is Fukuoka is quite confusing. This area around Tenjin, I don't know what the heck's going on. So this this requires further research. But I also realized, looking at where this Airbnb is that I'm heading to now, coincidentally, it's really close to when I tried to get to a Tully's and it was in a hospital. So I didn't go, I just kept walking. And I walked by some kind of a self-defense force barracks of some kind. And then I found a couple of subway stations that I tested out. It turns out my Airbnb is right by there. It's right between those two stations. And I remember while I was there, I found like a little shopping street. It was like a little mini Oyama Happy Road. And I remember thinking like, oh, this is a nice little street. Like, I can't imagine I'll ever be back here, but this is nice. And then it's kind of neat with like a city you don't really know that well. I just presumed wherever this Airbnb is, it would just be the great unknown heading off into the wild blue yonder. It's so weird to look at it on a map and go like, oh, I know where that is. I know that little neighborhood. I've been there. I've only been there once. But it was just like last week. Once is good enough. I know where that is. Nice. We'll see how hard it is to find this specific door. This one seems less difficult than the last one. Yeah, that's all good. And there's also, I'd forgotten all about this, but one of the kind of touristy type things that did come into my awareness in 2019, but I didn't go. It's like this historical city that's apparently, like, the whole city is kind of a tourist place because it's like old school and pretty. It is called Dazaifu, Dazaifu, and it's quite a large area. But yeah, it turns out my Airbnb, it's not close, but it's not that far. I could walk there, or I think there's a subway that goes there too. But it's one of those things that in 2019, I kind of heard of it, and I'm like, ah, no, that's okay. I'm not going to get around to that. I'm sure it's nice, but I had other stuff I was doing, like climbing mountains and shit. But then this time, when I saw the name somewhere, I was like, oh yeah, maybe now's the time. And it looks like I'm not really all that far. So that's something I can do. I got 10 more days in Fukuoka. That was one of the things I considered for today. Is like, oh geez, you know, I got all afternoon. I could go there. I could go hang out there and then circle back around to the Airbnb. But then I realized the horrible weight of this bag. All right, this place is too loud. Trains going by, sirens in the distance. I have had to stop for several airplanes and helicopters. I just gotta get the heck out of here. Now the question is, can I get the heck out of here? I really have no fucking clue how Central Fukuoka works at all. I mean, I'm right by a train, but I don't think it's the right one. Anyway, I'm sure I'll figure it out. I made it to the train station and I decided, again, I gotta make sure I don't get to my new Airbnb too early. I got a little time to kill, so it's got that machine, you know, where it drops the cup down full of the liquid of your choice. So I got a matcha latte hot with no sugar. I did it properly this time. Last time I fucked it all up. But they're not kidding when they say hot. When it came out of the machine said 95 degrees. Which is like, fuck. All right. Let's let that cool down a little. But yeah, as I was trying to find my way back to this station, because it's an above-ground train, it's not the subway, and the subway is the only thing I had previously used in Fukuoka when I was here before. As I was wandering around, trying to figure out where the hell to go, I did find that exact area I just mentioned with the big camera, and the thing I remembered as a park was more of a shrine, actually. And the Tully's sadly appears to not be there, but I was like, oh, okay, here is that thing. And just based on where I was today, I am pretty sure that that crazy long underground passageway I was in did pass underneath there. But now I know where it is, I know how to get there. When I don't have a book bag that weighs 8,000 tons, I can go back and check it out, you know? I think it's just shops and stuff, but give it a gander. And then I saw there's like a little shopping area near there too, which I suddenly recalled because I remember I wanted to try the matcha Kit Kats because they just don't really have cool Kit Kat flavors in Canada. In Japan, they have a bunch, but you can't always find them in small versions. You kind of got to buy a bag full of a bunch of mini Kit Kats. And I remember I went in there with Brad and I did buy a bag of the matcha ones, I think. I just like matcha, clearly. Let's try this, by the way. So good. Yeah, I mean, I chose the no sugar, but I don't know, maybe it still allows you to choose the sugar and the strongness of the coffee, but maybe none of those buttons are relevant to matcha. I might just be pressing buttons that do nothing, because this is still, it's quite sweet, but it's very good. But yeah, so I'm like, okay, good. Here's the one thing I remember. Here's the other thing I remember. And this train, it turns out, is smack dab in the middle of the two things. So I'm piecing it back together. My fractured memories of the little bit that I was in central Fukuoka before, they're coming back together. But getting back to this train, man, it's so weird how tough it is. Like, these regional train lines, they really are just absolutely disconnected from each other. They're just doing their own thing. There was no signage at all that I could see on any level. I just knew that it had to be around here somewhere because you can see the train track in the sky. And when you leave this train station, this is just the Tenjin station. I don't even know, like, what is this train line even called? I don't know. It's not the JR one, and it's not the local subway. It's just the other one. At some point, I'm sure I'll learn what it's called. But it spits you out in a very fancy, like super fancy, like wanna buy a diamond fucking wristwatch type store. So I just looked for the fancy store. I'm like, okay, there's a fancy pants store. So let's go in the fancy pants store, and then let's go up to the second floor. And then once I got that close, it's like, you really gotta, they're not helping you out here. It's like, hey, here's how to get to the train. Once you get up to the second floor, then there's like this, it's really, it's kind of austere. It's kind of tasteful, I guess. It's just this cool little outline of a train. Just if you look up at the ceiling, how do I describe it? It's like, it's just this little, you know, instead of a big arrow or a symbol or anything like that, it's just like a little line drawing, like the snail game or like the Tron bikes. It's like they just drew a cool little train symbol that's hanging from the ceiling with a cool little arrow. You know, it's very unobtrusive. And then I followed that, and then I finally got back to the concourse, and it's like, man, like I felt like I had to do it. Is it's like a little game. It's like a tiny little extremely easy game. Like, you know, if this was a video game, this would be like, well, that was an easy puzzle. But you just don't expect normal life to involve puzzles at all. So from a real life perspective, I think that was pretty tricky, actually. I had to do some fucking, I had to piece together some logic to get back up here. Maybe logic is too strong of a word. I had to remember things that I had done earlier today. But it's surprising how hard it is to reverse engineer these things. I mean, I guess I've had the same thing happen even when I just try to take paths to landmarks and stuff in the woods. It's easy when you're exiting, but getting back in is a whole different story. And it's the same thing here. It's like a cheat code when you just come out of the train and it's like, okay, here I am. I'm right by Tenjin. I'm right in the middle of Fukuoka. All good. But then when you gotta reverse engineer the course and get back in here, it's like, what? Where is this fucking thing? And it is just, honestly, having the book bag is the only thing that has made today, like, a bit wearing. It's just incredible how much harder everything is, you know? When you just are walking around with nothing on you, it's amazingly easy. I definitely strongly recommend. I mean, I still feel like I have too much stuff. I'm just not really sure what I can get rid of. I feel like I'm cutting it pretty close already. But lighter is always better, and I really do recommend trying to travel with only one bag. Man, man, oh man, oh man. Two of these things? Fucking forget it. It's like I might as well be made out of concrete at that point. Oh, here comes the train, but I'm afraid I'm still sipping my little matcha. Speaking of, though, did I tell this story? I don't know, but when I lived in Toronto, I had friends still from my New York days, who I've sadly fallen very much out of touch with now, but it's not crazy long from Toronto to New York. You know, it's a long bus ride, but you can get there on the bus. And one year, it was weird circumstances, is that I was going to go to New York with my friend Mike, and he, unfortunately, he, like, lost his passport right before we were supposed to go. So instead of going for 4 days with Mike and doing it up like kind of a normal trip, instead I decided, well, let me just go for the weekend. I'm just going to go for 2 days instead. Me and my friend Matt both did this together. And I had somebody's floor I could sleep on when we got there. So I was like, just as an experiment, I'm only there for 2 days. And again, it would just make things so much easier. Any bag I bring, like, I gotta take with me everywhere I go. What if I didn't bring anything? So I went across the border with nothing but what was in my pockets. I was like, you know, this is the worst part, I guess, would just be getting sweaty and gross because it was summertime. But again, 2 days, whatever. So I smell bad. Who fucking cares? I'm coming home on a bus, you know? And I remember the lady at the border. She was a big sassy black lady. And I only bring that up because I felt like I was in a movie. That's not an archetype that is as common in Canada, even in the cultural mosaic that is Toronto. And I guess I just seemed suspicious. You know, she wanted me to prove that I had a job or that I had an apartment, basically prove that I was going back to Canada, that I wasn't just going to stay in New York. And I don't remember specifically, I don't know, did I show her a power bill or something? But I mean, I was very much not interested in sneaking back. I lived in the States for a year and a half. I didn't want to go back ever. So I don't know, maybe she just felt my honesty when I was like, no, no, thank you. No, thank you, ma'am. That is not what I'm trying to do. But it's still obviously weird. It's just a weird thing that people don't do. And I remember she gave me the unsolicited but well-meaning advice basically to get my life together. You know, she's just like, I mean, whatever it is you think you're doing here, this is just not like what a citizen does. This is not what an adult person does. You know, as far as I know, Matt, because he did the same thing. As far as I know, Matt got across the border without a lecture. But it was fucking great. We got in to Grand Central Station, must be where the bus, or the Port Authority. I don't remember where the bus stops anymore. But this apartment I was staying at was like way out in Brooklyn. There's no way I could have gone to drop off stuff. But we didn't have to. We got off the bus and just had my wallet in my pocket. I just had clothes on my back and like a jacket. And then we just started walking. We just was like, okay, who else is in New York? Well, let's go meet up somebody. Let's go hit a bar in Manhattan. And like, that was it. You literally step off the bus and the adventure starts. And I was like really exhausted by the end of those 2 days. But I think that was more to do with sleeping on the floor than anything. Because, yeah, I did not sleep very well, and I drank a bunch. And I remember we went to see the Hunger Games. We used to do a thing where we would always, like, perversely go see movies while we were visiting places, just because it's such a waste of time. Like, the first time we went to New York together, we saw the movie Slither, the James Gunn movie. And this time it was the Hunger Games had just come out. And I remember I slept through most of the Hunger Games because I was so exhausted. But every time I would open my eyes, you know, I just got a sense. I'm like, I think I like this movie, actually. So I watched it properly when I got back to Canada. And I actually am a huge fan, more so of the movie than the books. But yeah, I really like The Hunger Games. Especially movie 1, but movie 3 I'm a strange fan of as well. But hey, that's a story for a different time. I feel like The Hunger Games is a little underrated. I mean, it like teaches you how to use propaganda to fight the government. It's fucking pretty crazy for a young adult film. But yeah, that was the only time to date that I've just literally traveled with no luggage. It'd be nice if I could pull that off, because it's fucking great. And I mean, I don't know, man. I'm starting to think, like, I guess it would come down to, I mean, if I like didn't bring any, like, you know, all my hair shaving stuff, it should be lighter once I ditch the big metal one. But if I got rid of that, if I just paid for haircuts, clothing, literally, like, I guess if you just wanted to be wasteful, like, especially in Japan, it's so easy to buy shirts and socks and underwear from convenience stores. I could literally just come with the clothes on my back and just buy clothes as I go. But again, incredibly wasteful. It's already expensive to travel. It would be nuts to do this stuff. But that's like all I can think of. That's the only way I can figure that I could just travel with almost nothing. I don't know that it's really worth it, but it's a nice idea, because that one time it was fucking awesome. But yeah, this goddamn bag, this fucking fucker, so fucking heavy. God damn it, I hate it. I hate having to travel around with this goddamn fucking thing. Shit. Alright, I gotta finish this fucking matcha so I can actually catch the next train. Oh, All right, I'm in the new apartment. Seems pretty good. I mean, these things always seem very exciting at first. It's like, ooh, a brand new place. I'm in a new place. For some reason, the heat was left on at like, what was it on? 26 degrees or something? Yeah, 26. Get the fuck. I guess that would be a nice sort of hospitable thing on a colder day. But 29 is as high as these things go. What the fuck? So it's a little hot in here. But this is cool. I'm on the fourth floor, so this is more of just an apartment building situation than the last place, which was just kind of a normal house, more or less split up into units, a little bigger than that. But this has if I stand, I can touch the ceiling, but I can't put my palm against the ceiling. Like, fairly high ceilings. Bathroom door is still below my head level, or one of them is. No, I guess both, because I got separate here. Gonna have to watch my head. Gotta step up on there. Definitely have a head smacking in my future. But yeah, I'm becoming like an expert of Japanese apartments right away. It's like, okay, I know that, I know how the heater / air conditioner thing works. I realized it was on. It's easy to turn it off. I saw that the hot water meter over on the wall wasn't at the scalding 75 degrees that it was at the last place. I don't know what the fuck that was all about, but it was on 50. A little too much. I put it to 44, I've learned, is my preferred. So you can just turn on the shower with just the hot water, and it's a no problem. It's all good. So this is essentially a single room. Though I see there is kind of like a curtain thing to separate the two. But when you walk in, there's the kitchen table. This is definitely, it seems like, run by the same overall company as the last place, even though the Airbnb person is different. But there's a disposable slippers, just like the last place, which I still have the slippers from the last place because I didn't keep any garbage in the old place. I just threw things away as I went. So as I left, I just had yesterday's noodle cup and put whatever garbage in there. And then when I went to the conveni, I just tossed it out. But I didn't want to toss out the slippers. That seemed a little much. A little, definitely, home garbage that you're not supposed to throw out, you know, at the convenience store. So I still got those slippers from the last place. So I was thinking, I mean, I guess I could just keep using them and not open these ones. But again, I feel like it's almost weird. Like, if they show up and I haven't opened the slippers, they're not going to know that I used previous slippers. They're going to think I just was a dick who didn't use the slippers. So I guess I'll just use the slippers, figure out somewhere to throw out the old ones. I mean, they have garbage and stuff in these places, you know, I could just leave the slippers in the garbage, but I just like the idea that I can take care of all this stuff and not leave them work to do. Maybe just at the subway. The subway stations have garbages, or at least the big train station where I got the matcha does. I can just sneakily put my disposable slippers in their garbage. This is all just weirdness that the average person would never care about or consider, but I don't know. I like it. I like it if I can do it, if I can just leave nothing. It's kind of neat. But anyway, yeah, same slippers. Same locks on the door, even just the internet password and the door lock. Just the pattern that they used is similar. So yeah, it's definitely part of all the same thing. Oh yeah, and here's the disposable toothbrushes that come with a little capsule of toothpaste. Jeez, yeah, I just realized I didn't even throw that away. I've still got my toothbrush that I was using at the last place. I guess it's time to upgrade. Anyway, let's see what else we got here. This is new. Oh, a rice cooker. That's a nice addition, although I don't believe I will ever be buying rice to make in the rice cooker. Fancy pants fridge with a 2-liter bottle of water in it. See, it is nice. Like, it is nice to have all this stuff. But I think Satoru from Chiba, I think he was dead right. That Airbnb is no longer, oh, you got a spare room in your house? You could rent it out. Now it is like, hey, it's a hotel. Because, yeah, I was just even thinking of the logistics of the stuff like the disposable slippers and the toothbrush. You know, I'm staying at these places for, between the two of them, like it combined about 3 weeks. But if you just stayed for one day, you know, they still have to toss money into all these disposable items. So, you know, it all just, it raises the bottom line. If I could stay somewhere cheaper and crappier, I would. But yeah, no tatami floor this time, just a normal apartment. So I got a little couch and a little beddy bed thing here, which will probably serve me better. And a TV that I might actually turn on this time. The other one was, just since it was such a traditional house, I'd never turned on the TV once. It just seemed weird. And also the little gas stove, which I will not use because I don't understand how gas works. And plates and bowls and yada yada. Seems pretty good. Oh wow, and here's a condiments, I guess? It's pretty random. Yeah, just jam and jelly and stuff. However, now the moment of truth. This one does have a separate shower and toilet. So that's kind of cool. So yeah, shower room. Seems pretty cool, pretty decent. But since the toilet is in its own separate room, let's see what we got in here. Come on, no whammies, no whammies, no whammies. Oh, so much better. Oh man. So it's got the wash basin built in. Oh my god, does it even have? It's got the bidet and everything. Oh my god. Fuck yeah. Cause yeah, that was the worst part. The last place just in general was just kinda weird all around. But the toilet. After I called it a shelf toilet, like they have in the Netherlands, I looked at it again and I'm like, okay, that was a little cruel. It's not a shelf toilet, because the Netherlands shelf toilets, legitimately, they're just flat at the bottom. There's just a flat space that you just, for some reason, God knows why, you just poop. You just poop in the open fucking air, and it's horrifying. It's just a terrible way to do toilets. The Japanese equivalent, it's not that bad, but it still sucks. By modern standards, it's awful. That toilet was terrible. I had bad experiences with it every day. But now, oh my god, amazing. So yeah, I believe these two places, I think they were about the same price. This one, way better. You know, it was kind of neat to like, oh, I got a little six tatami room. I get to see what a tatami thing is like. Mildly interesting. But I like this more modern apartment way better. And yeah, that toilet, oh, that's amazing. Let me see. Let me log on to the internet. Let me see if these both cost the same amount. Because yeah, this is also, being on the fourth floor, I got a balcony, I got a view. I mean, the only thing I can see out the window is more buildings, but even that in Japan is neat. It's not like I'm just seeing one other building. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. I can see 23 or 24 other buildings. And like no more than, I can't see further than a block away. But that's how many different buildings I can see, all of different heights. Every single fucking one of them is a different height. Like, it's just cool. You know, like, even a shitty view is fucking cool in Japan. Having no view at that last place, that was way shittier. I feel like Airbnb used to be a little more transparent about how much you were paying per day. Now it seems, I don't know, maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place. Anyway, it looks like the last place was like, man, $47 a day. That was so expensive. That was brutal. I mean, it's just that I really wanted to come back to Fukuoka. Really wanted to hike that dang mountain. I'm glad I came. And I just didn't want to stay at a group hostel type deal. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm looking around now and even that other place. I mean, they are fully stocked apartments. I guess that's the thing. When you look at it from a hotel point of view, $47 a day is totally fine. That's totally appropriate. I'm just stuck in the past of old school Airbnb, which maybe just doesn't exist anymore. But how much was this place? So this one is very slightly more, $48.20 a day. So this is only a dollar more a day. Although, I mean, it's not like I had an option. Neither of these places were available for this whole span. That's why I split it in half. They're really only available for the dates that I got them. So it doesn't matter what I fucking think. It doesn't matter about my harangue. And other people are more than happy to take these places. Somebody else is in my last place right now. But yeah, that's the slippery slope. Is like the group hostel type situation would have been about, I don't know, it's like $32 a day or something. So it's like, man, yeah, you just tack on a little bit extra each day and you get an entire apartment. So it's like, yeah, obviously. And then here it's like you tack on one extra dollar and you get an even awesomer apartment. It's really not bad. But then while I'm doing experiments, because yeah, when I get back to Tokyo after this, it is my first time doing a basically a capsule hotel type thing. And it's near the Skytree, so it seems like a pretty good spot, at least as far as transit goes. Woo, way better. Yeah, it's $26 a day? Holy shit. Way better. So, I mean, obviously part of it's the Fukuoka aspect as well. You'd like to think maybe Fukuoka will be cheaper because it's less popular, less desirable, etc., etc. But things just don't always work that way when you're traveling. Maybe because there's less stuff here, cost more. Clearly it does, you know? Well, I mean, it's weird to compare a capsule hotel to a whole apartment as well. But yeah, the communal type options in Fukuoka just really didn't seem good. They really seemed like a bad plan. And then the only other option was to live it up, to live it up like this. But yeah, who knows, famous last words, but and again, like I said, every time I get to a place, it seems great. I always arrive and think, well, this is just the best. But I think this one is actually going to be pretty good. And it's right by not one, but two different train lines. Like, fuck yeah. That little cool shopping street I was mentioning, I had to walk by it just to get here. And I was like, ah, there you are. There you are, little street I thought I wouldn't come back to. Instead, I'm going to walk through you every day by Zashonokuma Station. Definitely one of the oddest station names. Zashonokuma. So there we go, another travel day down. I'm feeling temporarily energized because I'm in a new place and I have an awesome toilet. But I should probably chill now because I've been dragging around a book bag all day and I'm in one of those states where I don't feel like I'm tired, but it's going to hit me soon because I clearly am. Thank you for listening, as usual. Tomorrow, oh goodness, next episode, I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's going to be cool, because new neighborhood, new train lines, new options, new, I was thinking it's kind of like, I'm sure COVID messed this up, but I was vaguely aware of these people who would make vlogs about Disneyland, and I guess it's like, you know, Disneyland is so popular that there's enough people that want to watch daily vlogs about Disneyland, and there's enough details about Disneyland that there was more than one person who were basically living full-time in hotels, in Disney hotels, and their job was every day to go into Disneyland and to make a vlog about a certain detail of Disneyland. And I was thinking about that because, like, in my own stupid way, since I'm not working in Japan, I'm not living here, I'm not studying, I'm not learning the language, I'm barely ever meeting a person, I'm just walking around going, look at this, whoa, look at that. In my own, like, shallow, dumb way, that's kind of how this feels. It's just like, and of course, no one's asking me to do this. It's not like these Disneyland vloggers who are actually popular. It'd be lucky if anybody fucking listens to this podcast, but just for my own fucking entertainment, like, that's what I feel like I'm doing every day. It's like, let's just go. Doesn't matter where. Yesterday, all I did was I went to the end of a subway line. It's like, so what? But I thought it was interesting. Just anywhere, just anything I wake up tomorrow and decide to go do will be interesting to me, at least. And that's how I feel a bit. It's like, God, just reporting on the place. And yeah, it must seem weird to equate Japan to Disneyland if you grew up here and you live here and you're just like, whatever, dude. I got to get on the pack train and go to my fucking job every day. Why don't you shut up? But to me, it feels like, whoa, just get to go see something. Get to go see a new something tomorrow. Fucking cool. So yeah, join me next episode where I'm going to go fucking see something. See you then.